The Mystery Playhouse, a rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations.
Good evening. This is Peter Lorre. If you like mystery and suspense, if your tastes run to the macabre or the supernatural, if sweetness and light bores you, then, my friends, you've come to the right place. I promise you, there is nothing sweet and very little light here in a mystery playhouse. High on some lonely promontory, there lives a strange old fellow, known only as the Hermit. His home a cave, hollowed from a rocky hillside. His only companions, a pack of evil-looking, evil-smelling dogs. It has been said that no tale of mystery or horror, of this world or the next, has escaped the Hermit's knowing gaze. He knows more than the Hermit does, and he's going to tell you his latest as we take you to the Hermit's cave.
Doesn't come up, he won't get any dinner.
Yeah, serve him right.
That man. The only time he can be here when his family's all here, he hides downstairs in that awful old basement.
Hey, Pop! Dinner!
Bill, the neighbors!
Pop! Last one of the table's gargantuan's uncle.
Oh, where's man?
Edgar! Dinner is ready!
Coming!
And the dinner getting all cold. Honestly, sometimes I feel like going down there and throwing all that paraphernalia of your father's into the trash can.
Yeah, it'd take more than one trash can to hold all that junk.
Well, what does he do down there? Will anyone tell me?
Oh, he just potters around with chemistry and electricity.
What does he accomplish? Smokes up the house with those horrid-smelling chemicals, burns out fuses.
Yeah, but maybe he'll invent something someday that'll make us all rich.
For 3 weeks now, I've been trying to get him to fix that towel rack in the bathroom.
You don't expect a great scientist like Dad to bother with a towel rack, do you?
Bill, get your hands out of the olives. Wait till your father gets here. Suppose I'll have to attend to it myself, like everything else around here.
You're referring to the broken screen in the bedroom window, Catherine. I was planning to get at it right after dinner.
I was referring, Edgar, to the towel rack in the bathroom.
Oh, what about it?
Every morning for 2 weeks, I've mentioned the towel rack at breakfast, and every time you've said I'll fix it tonight.
I said I'll fix it, and I'll fix it. My, everything looks good. Pass your plate, Kathy.
Edgar, you haven't washed your hands.
Hmm? Why, they're clean.
You've been fooling around down in that old dirty basement with heaven knows what. I'm not going to eat out of any dirty plates you've touched with those hands. Honestly, Edgar, you're worse than William was when he was...
No, I've just been adjusting some electrical equipment. I haven't been working with hydrochloric acid or typhoid germs. All right, I'll wash them in the kitchen.
Getting this family down to the dinner table on Sunday is harder than doing a week's wash. And don't dry your hands on my tea towel.
What is that, Kathy?
I said, don't use my clean tea towel. Oh, I would like to have just one Sunday dinner where I didn't have to go around and corral you. Father's the worst of all.
Where is it? What'd you do with it?
What?
Where's that pan of water? Pan of water I left on the windowsill.
What?
3 days ago, I put a pan of water in the kitchen window. Now it's gone.
Well, I threw it out.
Threw it out? I was saving it for an experiment.
But it was just a pan of water, so I poured it down the sink.
Catherine, I told you to save that. It was full of organisms I was saving for an experiment.
It was perfectly empty, except for the water.
Microscopic organisms. Amoeba, spirogyrum things. Can't see them without a microscope. Now I'll have to get some more stagnant water.
Never mind your stagnant water. Sit down and eat.
That makes me sore. Man can't have anything around here.
No use crying over a spilled spirogyra, Bob.
I was talking to your mother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, let's not have any arguments, especially over anything so silly.
Silly? That's all the credit a man gets for trying to advance science.
All right, Edgar, dear. Let's postpone advancing science until after dinner.
This man works all week, comes home, tries to relax with a nice, quiet hobby down in the basement where he won't bother anybody. His family throws in specimens.
Edgar, I don't see why you don't take up a hobby that'll at least get you out in the open air. You're cooped up in that old bank all week. And then down you go into the basement, breathing heavens knows what kind of poison gas.
Kathy, are you going to start that again? I'm not going to work with poison gas. I'm not going to blow up the house. Now let's eat our dinner. Oh, what, Bill?
What are you working on now?
Oh, I'm going to tell you the truth, son. I don't really know.
Say, you've got a lot of new stuff down here in the basement, Pop. Hey, what's this?
No, don't touch it. Shortwave diathermy.
Yeah? How much did it cost? Hey, does Mom know about it? Does she, Pop? Huh?
The bank took over this equipment from a doctor that went broke. I got it very cheaply. I don't mind if you watch, Bill, but please don't talk.
All right. Hey, whatever became of that substitute for rubber you were working on?
Well, that was the darndest thing. Turned out to be a sort of butterscotch fudge. Pretty good, too.
I'll be done. Have you still got the formula?
Well, I didn't write any of it down. I just mixed things together.
Well, the funny thing, you know, Dot was trying to make fudge the other night for Sydney, and she got a substitute for rubber.
Milligrams.
Hey, what's in this big barrel, Pop?
ACCH. Toothpaste.
Toothpaste? A whole barrel full of toothpaste?
Oh, it's not quite full. I thought I could save us some money by making our own toothpaste.
So you made 20 years' supply.
Oh, it tastes pretty awful. But it worked, though. Remember how stained this elk's tooth on my watch chain was? Now look.
Gee, gosh, if you could only add peppermint flavor or something.
Well, to tell you the truth, Bill, I'm a little tired of working with toothpaste. This new experiment has gotten me quite interested.
Yeah, what is it?
I may be wrong, but something I've worked out in that glass bottle seems to make things grow very rapidly.
What do you mean?
Well, last week, I took some one-celled forms and put them in the bottle in that solution. Then I exposed them to some rays from the diathermy. Somehow, it seemed when I looked at them through the microscope several days later, they were 8 or 10 times bigger. A lot bigger than I've ever seen cells like that get.
Maybe you've got something there, Pop.
Maybe something they can do in any of the big labs, but that's sort of interesting to me.
Well, whip me up a great big amoeba, will you, Pop? I'll lay it on the zoology teacher's desk like an apple.
The trouble is, I don't remember exactly what I had in the solution or the exact setting of the diathermy machine. In other words, there are too many variables.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know, Pop, it's guys like you fooling around in basements that really make the important discoveries. You know, you try the impossible and accidentally make it work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pop, can I take the car?
Well, all right. Be in early.
Okay, Pop. Thanks a lot.
Copper sulfate, 12 grand. No, better make it 14 for good measure.
Oh, hiya, Pop. Oh, I thought you were going to a show at Mom.
Bill, take a look at this here in the tube.
Oh. Good gosh. What is it?
I don't know. It grew in there.
Well, it's sort of a grayish-white blob. About the size of an egg.
Day before yesterday, it was only half that size.
Well, what did you put in there in the first place?
Something I found in some stagnant water. I added a sort of salt solution to the water in the tube and rigged up this device that sends a current through the water.
Well, the neighbors are kicking. There isn't a radio on the block that'll get anything but static.
I'm going to have to invent something to stop that static.
Yeah, or turn off the machine.
Well, I couldn't do that. It'd ruin the experiment.
Look at that thing.
Doesn't it look as though eyes were forming on it, one on each side?
Yeah, but they aren't the same size.
I've looked through a couple of dozen books on zoology, and there's nothing like it in any of them.
Well, maybe it's a polywog. It went wrong. Well, you're not going to a movie then, huh? Huh, Pop? Movie?
Oh, no, I'm a little tired. Here, you take your money.
Oh, I got a date. Well, I'll see you and your pal in the test tube later.
July 8th. My specimen continues to grow. It now is a shapeless mass the size of a cantaloupe, and I've had to put it in a much larger container. Those definitely are eyes on the side of it. They follow me as I move around the basement. I've taken to locking the door. The thing might alarm Kathy if she should come down here. Very good dinner to the night, Pop.
How would you know, Edgar? You barely touched it.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I've had a lot on my mind. The bank examiner's been there the last 3 days.
Yes, I know. But that hasn't been worrying you. If I didn't know what the real trouble was, I suspect you of being afraid they'd discover you juggled a book. Now that we can talk just between ourselves, Edgar, why don't you let your experiment go for a while?
Now, Kathy.
Please, Edgar. How do you suppose to be related?
Nothing of the kind. I feel fine.
You know that's not so. You're pale and thin. Why, I'll bet you've lost 15 pounds the last 2 weeks. You never were exactly overweight, you know.
Kathy, I wish you'd stop fussing at me.
I'm not fussing at you. I just think you ought to stay out of the basement.
Why?
Why? Because I don't think it's good for you to be down there so much.
Can't a man have at least one place where he can be away from everyone, a place where he can think?
Edgar, I never said a word as long as I didn't think it wasn't interfering with your health. You're spending hours down there. Why, most of the time, you don't get to bed before 3 and 4 o'clock. Now, don't look at me like that, Edgar. It's for your own
good. Stop talking to me as though I were a child.
Just see how nervous and unstrung you are, Edgar. What is it you're working on? What are you doing down there, Edgar?
Nothing, nothing. I'm building infernal machines. Now, will you let me alone? Just let me alone. That's all I ask. Let me alone. Growing every day. This whitish bulbous lump of protoplasm. Its eyes are larger now. They don't blink, but stare. They focus on me and face me. I turned out all the lights, but I can still see the eyes. They glow in the dark with a green phosphorescence. The rest of the body, if I may call it a body, looks soft and pulpy, yet muscular like a snake's. It has no appendages as yet. No legs, no claws, just this bulbous, writhing, helpless mass. It fills me with horror to look upon it. I should destroy it, but I can't. I owe it to science to let it develop. It seems to have stumbled upon some means of stimulating growth. It derives its nourishment from the solution in which it grew. Whether it must live in water or not, I don't know. I put a larger lock on the door as a precaution against I know not what. The thing is helpless now. It has outgrown the large jar it was in before. It's now in a large aquarium tank sealed on all sides. No one knows it's here except me. I wonder, should I tell someone?
Worried about your father.
Pop, how come?
He didn't go to the bank this morning.
No, I'm worried a bit.
I wish he was. He's down in the basement. Maybe he's not going to work today. Just on the surface. Bill, do you have any idea what he's doing now?
No, he won't tell me a thing about it. He sure changed a lot lately. He used to like to talk about his experiments, only then none of us would listen, or else we'd make fun of him.
Now, sometimes, Bill, I shouldn't say this, but...
But what, Mom?
Sometimes I think your father's mind is affected.
Him? Oh, no, no. No, he just got interested in something. Everybody that has a hobby does it sooner or later. Well, I bet in 2 weeks he'll give the whole thing up and never touch any of that equipment again.
He's heading for a nervous breakdown. Bill, I've never come across anything like this before since I knew your father. He's been hardworking, yes. But he's always had time for me and for you children. He's never been cross or cranky before. I'm worried about his job.
Vice president, ain't he?
Yes, but even vice president gets by. And it's not going to work. Well, I'm going to see if I can find out what's the matter. You run along to school.
Okay, Mom. I gotta get my book.
much time away from the bank.
I've given that place enough of my time for 16 years.
I know. Don't get all worked up, please. I hate to see so many years apart with just children.
Catherine, I'm busy. Now go away.
Edgar, never talked like that to me before.
Well, I am now.
What are you doing that makes you so strange? What have you got down there, Edgar? There's something down there that you don't want me to see, isn't there?
You've got the entire house to do with as you please. Haven't I the right to do as I please with the basement?
There's something down there that's destroying your health and the happiness of our children. I've got a right to see it.
Catherine, don't go down there.
I shall.
Catherine, you're not going to set foot inside this basement.
Reason why?
Because I said no.
That's no reason.
I warn you, Catherine, stop pushing.
Let me come down. Edgar, let me come down.
I warn you, Catherine, stop it or you'll be sorry. You made me do this. I didn't want to do it. But you made me.
Trying to get out? Is there a mind in that sickening mass of throbbing flesh? Do you feel? We'll see. I'll prod that revolting hulk of yours with a stick. You feel that? You do feel. The squishy body draws within itself. What are you? A fish or an animal? Or something the like of which has never lived before? You're a hideous sight. I should have killed you when you were small, a tiny blob inside of a bottle. You can't get out. No, you can't lift that crate. You must stay in that tub. Stay till I get up nerve enough to kill you. I've got to go upstairs now. Stay there. In your tub. There in the dark.
Thought I heard somebody out in the snow.
Son's room lying beside your wife's body?
It was this thing. You crawled out of the basement, I just...
This thing you refer to, you haven't been able to describe it. Was it an animal, a snake, or what?
I don't know, I told you. It was in the basement as it got out. It was in there for weeks.
Had anyone seen it but you, Mr. Randall?
Oh, nobody.
Mr. Randall, how do you expect these intelligent men and women on the jury to believe in the existence of such a creature as you describe? A mass of flesh. No arms, no legs, no head. Just two green eyes set in a pulpy, palpitating, shapeless body.
That's what it was.
And you would have us believe that this jellyfish had the power to smother your son, an active, athletic high school boy? And then wrap its shapeless mass around the head of your wife, an able-bodied woman, and smother her also. I ask you this, Mr. Randall. Where is this monster?
I don't know. I don't know.
I waste my time and the time of this jury and this court. The defendant leaves you no choice, ladies and gentlemen. You must believe him. You must believe his story. This fantastic yarn about this test tube Frankenstein. Or you must condemn him. Condemn him to the death as a conscienceless killer who smothered the breath of life from his son and from the woman who was his loyal and devoted wife. Which, I ask you, are you going to do?
Shallow, isn't he? I don't think we've heard the last of him either. I have an idea that our friend the hermit will pay us another visit soon. Wait, don't go. Not yet. Not until we visit the green room, where the players are rehearsing our next performance at the Mystery Playhouse. Follow me.